We begin with confession and forgiveness. Almighty God, Jesus Christ, was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
You wash away our sins. You welcome us, oh Father, back to your home again. You bless your sons and your daughters. Now let the feast begin. Let it begin. Lord, your mercy covers me. Your mercy has set me free. You've forgiven me today, and my sins are washed away by the cross and empty grave for my soul. Lord, your mercy covers me. forgiven me today, and my sins are washed away by the cross and empty grave for my soul.
Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy.
Let us pray. Holy God, through your Son, you have called us to live faithfully and act courageously. Keep us steadfast in your covenant of grace, and teach us the wisdom that comes only through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Our first reading this evening is from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll read Psalm 19 responsively. Will you all please read the bold print? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims its maker's handiwork.
One day tells its tale to another, and one night imparts knowledge to another.
Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard,
their sound has gone out into all lands, and their message to the ends of the world, where God has pitched a tent for the sun.
It comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course.
It goes forth from the uttermost edge of the heavens and runs about to the end of it again. Nothing is hidden from its burning heat.
The teaching of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the simple.
The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear and gives light to the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold, sweeter far than honey in the comb.
By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward.
Who can detect one's own offenses? Cleanse me from my secret faults.
Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of great offense.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 18 through 25. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom. God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. My sisters and brothers, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. You may recall me making this point before, but I believe it's an important one to hold on to because it helps us in understanding what the gospel is and what the gospel is not. One of the worst things churches have been guilty of over the years is to make being a good person the sole purpose of Christianity. That the mission of congregations has been to produce people with good morals. The problem with that is that's not what following Christ is all about. Yes, we would naturally want to live a good life, and both ethical and moral virtue would certainly be a result of following Jesus. No question about that. But the church does not exclusively produce, quote-unquote, good people. We know this to be true in the increasing secularism and pluralism in our society. We see people that are good, that are not connected with the church, more so with our youth who come here and our friends with more and more people that do not attend or belong to a church at all. And quite frankly, we see people who are horrible, by the world standards even. And they're very much involved with church. So when we reduce even the Ten Commandments to nothing more than a simple moral code, we miss the relationship with God and community that's involved with it. Now we know that it's hard to live in community together. We know this in our own households. We know this even with our own church family. The result tends to be a desire, I think, for folks to want to do this all alone when it gets hard. And then when you have the idea about it, well, it's just about being a good person. Well, what do I need these people for? What do I need the church for? I don't need that headache. I don't need that heartache. I don't need that struggle. I can do this by myself. And that's the first mistake we make when we think we're all just basically good. Now, I think just about everybody in this world would say, I'm not perfect. No one's perfect, but I'm basically good. Aren't we all just basically good? Now, Martin Luther is said to have described humans as dunghills. He was not a great motivational speaker in that regard, right? He described humans as dunghills covered in the pure snow that is God's grace. We're not all just basically good. Whereas we are, as Luther puts it, just piles of crap. Now, we can look at these commandments on how we're to treat one another, but we must remember the first three commandments. Now, when I say the first three, I'm referring to the order that Lutherans and some other Christians number the Ten Commandments. Different religious traditions number and group them differently. So for us, the first commandment, you shall have no other gods. The second commandment, you shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God. The third commandment, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. These first three for us are important because it's about who we love. It's not simply a charter about how to be a good person or a good citizen. It's about devotion to God. Look at those first three commandments and what it requires of us. You shall have no other gods. Your full heart and devotion, first and foremost, to God alone. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God. So our speech, our mouths are not just, and don't just think about it, you're just not going to curse or say, you know, the Lord's name in vain. You're also going to use God's name in holy ways. And if we're intentional about that, that's going to have an impact on how we live and devote ourselves to God in our everyday life. And in remembering the Sabbath and keeping it holy, I've said this many times too, for Lutherans, in Luther's explanation of this commandment in the Small Catechism, it's not, he doesn't say go to church on Sunday. His focus really for us there is being sent, your heart's being centered on the Word. That's what's important. Don't just come once a week, check off the box, and say, I went to worship. Are your hearts centered on the Word? That's the important thing. So when we reduce this to just basically being good, all the commandments fly out the window then. We end up with so many idols in our lives. Our hearts then don't become set on God, but on other things. Now, and some of those things can be good stuff that God has blessed us with, but they ought not have primacy when it comes to our devotion and worship. Idolatry, even of the good things that God has blessed us with, will get us into trouble. Now, if you've come this far and thinking that it's all about just being a good person, and then you're like, well, if it's just about being a good person, then I don't need God, I don't need the church. What do I need this means of grace that God supposedly offers through the church? Falsely believing that you could basically do all this on your own, what we end up doing is we put ourselves as the first commandment. And that's what it feels like these days. And probably in every generation, but it seems like it's smacking me in the face these days. Far too many people that have this attitude, no other gods or people before me. It's all about me. It's a toxic approach in seeing the world no longer as God's world. Seeing people no longer as created in God's image, but as a world that revolves and caters to me. See, moral and ethical living will only get us so far when we've divorced our hearts from being in relationship with God. We might think we can be good, but you'd be surprised what humanity can think they can get away with and justify as good. You'll be alarmed when we can comb through the history of all that. What becomes of the witness of the church when a relationship with God has lost primacy? If it's just about producing good people, and that's what we're about, and people are saying, well, I can do this on my own or somewhere else, what's our witness? Why aren't we proclaiming Christ crucified? Why aren't we talking about the one who took on our flesh and dwelt among us and has come to claim you and me as God's own? If there's one thing that's glaring about human beings, it's our stubbornness and our idolatry, certainly real. When the truth is presented to us, we have the propensity to put our heads in the sand and to simply dismiss inconvenient truth. And if we are privileged, we can, for the most part, buy our ways out of what inconveniences us, so we can continue to be comforted by our various idols. Anybody, and I don't mean that in a socioeconomic thing, essentially all people can do this to one degree or another, buy their way out of their discomfort. It just might vary from person to person. I think a lot of this has come over the years from the heresy of the prosperity gospel that's infiltrated Christianity in North America. It unfortunately invited people to think of God as a commodity and the church as a marketplace. The prosperity gospel would have people believe that the role of the church is to make them feel happy and that God is to give me what I want, but when that doesn't happen, I'm just going to do this on my own. I can worship God on my own. But what ends up happening, though, and what some people don't even realize is happening, is that they're not worshiping God on their own, they're worshiping themselves. I can worship myself on my own. Yeah, you can. You do a great job at it, too. That's what's happening, whether people realize it or not. We might think we're worshiping God, but we've made God into our own image when we feast on this heresy. The gospel and true biblical-centered living is about a relationship with God and God giving us to be in relationship with one another. God wants us to be more than good. That's not where it ends. God wants us to be God's children. God wants believers. God wants followers. God wants God's way to be a light in this world, a light to people of all nations. That's the good news that we hear in Exodus. It should be words of comfort when we hear, I am the Lord your God. You know why that's good news? You cannot earn or buy the love of God. God claims us. As God led the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery, our God continues to lead and guide us. God delivers us from our idolatry. God liberates us from our sin, and God continues to speak to us through the scriptures. Why do we need each other? Because God speaks to us and our witness to one another. How many of us have gone through something and we think we're the only ones experiencing it? We're the only ones going through a rough time. We're the only ones, we feel so alone and isolated. And then as we gather together in community, we realize, I'm not alone in this pain and struggle. Others are experiencing this with me right now. Others have experienced this before. And they give witness to me on how God has got them through this. Amen. And then vice versa. We can give witness to other people on how God has sustained ourselves and how God is sustaining them. Through word and sacrament, we're not making ourselves good. Through word and sacrament, God is making us holy. We do not look at these commandments as a moral code, but an invitation to put our faith and trust in the one who gives these commandments to us. Martin Luther wrote, "Faith alone is righteousness, is the righteousness of a Christian and the fulfilling of all the commandments. For he who fulfills the first commandment has no difficulty fulfilling the rest." Now, as I said earlier in our Lenten journey, God does not call us to be successful, but faithful. And when we understand that, we understand success differently. Today, I want to say to you, God does not want us to simply be good, but faithful. And when we are faithful, we understand goodness differently. I also assure you that the goodness that comes from faithfulness will transcend the world's understanding of what it means to be good. Our God looks foolish in this world. Go back to that image of Christ on the cross. That's a symbol for us of faithfulness. That's a symbol for us of success, of victory. Yet to the world, it's foolish. And to echo Luther, we are a pile of crap, but through the cross, we're covered by God's grace. Yeah, that is foolish. But praise God for that foolishness, because it put an end to our sinfulness. It put an end to our wicked ways. It put an end to death. In the marketplace of sin, there are winners and losers, yet we know that the wages of sin is death. No one wins in the end. That's the good news. It's foolish to this world, but it's good news to us because Jesus transforms that. In being faithful, he loses his life on the cross so that we all might gain life through him. God claims us. The salvation we have in Jesus Christ is not something we buy or earn. It is given to us. This grace can certainly seem foolish. Many people have said it to me. What's the point? There's nothing I can do. Why would I invest in that? It seems so easy. Like I don't need, you know, God's doing all this for me. That's the point. That's the good news. There's nothing you can do. Christ has foolishly saved you. There's nothing to sell you. The gospel cannot be sold. It can only be freely shared. But justified by this one, Jesus Christ, you're now called to share this gospel, to also be a fool like Christ. Transformed by the faithfulness of God in Jesus Christ, we get to be more than good people. Keep our hearts and faith centered on the God that has claimed us. We get to foolishly love others as Christ loves us. The world gets to see through the witness of Christianity and ministry of the church that love of Jesus. We get to do more than to just live good lives. We get to live lives of saints by receiving and sharing the love of Jesus. We get to do more than simply good works and acts of charity, but fueled by the foolish love of Christ, we get to give people a glimpse of heaven on earth by sharing the grace, mercy, and forgiveness we've received from the Lord who has claimed us and has saved us. Amen. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Behold your power. and we behold your wisdom. O holy God, O holy and living one, life that never ends, you show your love by dying for your friends, and we behold you living.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Relying on the promises of God, we pray boldly for the church, the world, and all in need. There is no God before you. Purify the faith of your church, that your people place their trust in nothing beside you. Your name is holy. Guide your church, that in every situation, your people's words and actions honor your name. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
The heavens declare your glory. Renew your creation. Give all people the willingness to repent when our way of life pollutes the world, the earth, and skies. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Your foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. Fill leaders with the foolishness of your peace and mercy. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Sarah, our dean, Adam, our pastor, and for all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Your weakness is stronger than human strength. Protect those who are vulnerable and give courage to all who are suffering, especially Kylie, Matt, Tracy, Susie, Tim, Wilma, Vincent, Pat, Dina, Candace, Ellie, Stan, Marlene and her family, Ken and our family, Blaine, Robin, Michelle, Rhonda, Randy, Diane, John, Gloria, Claire and Thomas, Megan, Rob, Leah, Lori, Ron, Frank, and our homebound, and those who are fighting COVID at this very moment. Defend crimes, victims of crime, and bring redemption to those who have harmed others. Give Sabbath rest to all who labor. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You call us to proclaim Christ crucified. Give clarity to this congregation and our leaders so that we might follow Christ beyond our own habits and comfort. clear out anything in our common life that would obscure the gospel or that serves our own interests. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
For those in our armed services and their chaplains, hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
The cross of Christ is your power for all who are being saved. Thank you for Perpetua, Felicity, and all the martyrs whose witness reveals the power of the cross. Give us the same trust in life and in death. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. We entrust ourselves and all our prayers to you, O faithful God, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love.
Come, Holy Spirit.
With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Distribution of the Sacrament of Holy Communion will be meeting you at the west side of our parking lot. Each vehicle will receive the sacrament and a dismissal and blessing, and then you will be on your way. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready.